Welcome to our Clothed with the Sun daily podcast, our reading and meditation on the gospel of the day. This is Charles Colazzi, and today is Friday, May the 3rd. It is the 2024, of course. It is the fifth Friday in the season of Easter. It's also the feast of St. Philip and James. Our reading is from the gospel according to St. John. Jesus said to Thomas, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, then you will also know my Father. From now on you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Master, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you for so long a time, and still you do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you I do not speak on my own. The Father who dwells in me is doing his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Or else believe because of the works themselves. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do, and will do greater ones than these, because I am going to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything of me in my name, I will do it." So we have a repeat here of this reading for the sake of the feast day. It's John chapter 14. We have been reading a lot. Once again, in the Easter season, we go deeper. We go largely into the works of St. John, his gospel. In the Liturgy of the Hours, we're doing the book of Revelation. Of course, for mass readings, we're also reading the Acts of the Apostles. And so there's all these different things that Jesus is talking about regarding unity, regarding his unity and his love that goes back and forth with the Father, and how then that translates to us. And I wanted to just focus a little bit here on Philip saying, "Show us the Father, and ask anything in my name, and I will do it." The fact is, Jesus has shown us the Father. The only clearer vision we can have of the Father will take place after this life is over, when we can see with the veil lifted, when we can see everything as it is. But to be able to see the Father while still here on earth, while still in this sinful state, well, that's been done as best as it can be done in the person of Jesus. How does Jesus show us the Father? Well, first of all, Jesus is the image of God. Jesus, it's interesting too, to look at Jesus, well, he gets his looks from Mary. He gets his physical appearance, his body, his flesh, it's all from Mary. But let's talk about Mary for a moment. She's without sin. She doesn't have the effects of sin. There's effects of sin in their lives, and they're both going to suffer a great deal. But there's a sweetness, a kindness, a love, a selflessness, a purity that the rest of us don't even know. So that's how the Father is. It's hard for us to imagine anyone without sin, because we're all sinners. We all have so much sin. But the Father is pure. The Father is loving. The Father is sensitive. The Father's a good listener. The Father has a keen intellect, the keenest of intellect. The Father is the source of wisdom. And so Jesus has shown us the Father, and he's given us access to the Father. And this is where humility comes in. This is where we have to keep going back to the same ideas that we don't get to heaven from willpower. We don't get to heaven by good works, although good works are very important. We must cooperate with God's grace, so that's a work. We must work on ourselves in terms of growing in virtue, but we must always remember at the end of the day and at the end of our lives, we could do nothing without the Lord, without his grace, without his love, without his loving gaze constantly upon us. It empowers us. It gives us everything that we need. So I just think, I'll give a little personal reflection and then an overall example of our theme here for the day, that by having this access to the Father through Jesus, We can ask anything in his name and he will do it. Our prayers are constantly getting answered. But we experience our prayers being answered more and more and more to the degree that we become more like the Father. We become more like Jesus. And how do we do that? Once again, it's not through willpower. It's through allowing God to take over, allowing God to live in me, in my heart, in my thoughts. One thing I've been praying for recently, a little self-revelation here, is, Lord, give me more love for my students. It's interesting because, you know, you have people all over the spectrum in terms of telling you how to discipline kids or how to teach kids. And some people say, oh, you have to be so much harder on them and really rough with them. You know, like our parents were with us. Everybody says that. So many people say that. And then you have other people on the opposite end of the spectrum that want to say, oh, never yell at the child. And you know, to some degree, I think this is a flaw that we have in our day and age. But to some degree, there's also a place of virtue that says that. You know, St. John Bosco used to say, I hate disciplining the children. In other words, he recognized that there was a need to sometimes discipline the children, but he said, you know, in trying to do exactly what Jesus would do in raising these children, St. John Bosco had hundreds of boys in his orphanages and even in the early days in the oratories. And so he was trying to be a father to them in the spirit of Jesus, literally as Jesus, as a priest, another Christ, you know, he was always trying to find out in each child, and this is what we need to do with people we minister to, where is the wound and how can I best apply the spiritual and maybe even emotional medication, so to speak, to that soul. It's true, you can get maybe a classroom quiet through yelling, maybe even giving out punishments. And you know, when the situations get tougher and tougher, I mean, yeah, you have to do that stuff. But if I want to help this particular child, let's just say, if I really want to be a father figure towards these children, it's about getting to know them better, finding out what their wounds are. Where is it that this child needs attention? Why is it that this child needs attention? And a lot of times that comes from cooperation with the parents and discussing it and how can we best minister to this child. Sometimes it comes from, sometimes the parents are making it worse, honestly. Because maybe there's, for example, let's just give you an extreme case. You know, if a father is abusing his children and then you call the dads, hey, your kid acted up in class. Well, the dad's going to beat the kid when he gets home. Now, once again, the older generations are thinking, yeah, that's how it is, right? But when we think about the actual wound and what Jesus wants to do in the soul of that child, is it just more beatings or is it rather, okay, how can I minister to this child so that, no, it doesn't end up in more beatings and it captivates the child's heart in such a way that he or she wants to do better because they're experiencing love while at the same time they're being corrected. There's correction. And you know what? We have to do this with our own selves. And there's lots of great books being written nowadays that I love to read that talk about how can I minister to my own soul in a way that's loving and not harsh. It's not judgmental. I'm not beating myself up, but I still need correction. So how do we entice the heart? I know some people look at this and say, "Ah, you're just a bleeding heart." There can be that. There's, once again, it's as I was saying earlier, we try to find the balance in all these things. But one thing I generally pray for is, Lord, give me more love for my students. Help me to love them more into more maturity, better behavior, better knowledge of the subject matter, etc. And the Lord does it. He does it. He gives us more love. I pray, Lord, give me the words to say when I'm teaching or when I'm giving spiritual direction, things like that, when people are asking for advice, constantly asking. This is a fruit of our confirmation, by the way, asking for words of wisdom. You know, there's wisdom, there's knowledge, there's understanding. There's also piety, greater respect and reverence for the things of God, the people God has made, etc. So the Lord gives me the words. These are things where Jesus says, ask what you need and I will do it. If I say, Lord, I want $1 million, you know, he's still going to answer our prayers. He might not want us to have $1 million. So maybe that particular prayer doesn't get answered, but he always answers our prayers. But as we grow in our prayer life, we go deeper into knowing God's will. and then asking for the things that we need, and then we see it, and then we grow in gratitude. I was talking about gratitude the other day. When I give these sermons online, I ask the Lord, Lord, guide me in what I say. Give me the words as I'm preparing ahead of time, but also when I'm speaking, like just now, some of the things I just said are not the things I prepared to say. So hopefully that's a fruit of my prayer, you know, to the degree that I'm open to it or not. Lord, give me the words to say. The Lord is so good. The Lord gives us the things that we need. I was thinking of the movie War Room, and I know I've mentioned this before. It's a great movie. I highly recommend it. Where there's an elderly woman, there's a younger woman having trouble in her marriage, and an elderly woman teaches her about a couple of things. She says, one of your problems is you're fighting your husband. You need to learn to fight for your husband. In fighting your husband, right? And maybe you pray about that. Maybe probably you're not even praying. Lord, make him this and make him that and change him. All right. Maybe there's some responses to that. Maybe not. But when it's Lord, you know, and now we're fighting for the husband. She is fighting for her husband. Lord, help us to grow better as a couple. Lord, help him, make him strong in his heart. Give him clarity of mind. Help him to turn away from his sins. Now we're praying for the right things. And now what happened in that marriage? She started seeing fruits as she was being transformed into greater virtue. He started being transformed. There's an answer to prayer, but there's also a growth in virtue that's contagious, that they're seeing there together. And then this elderly woman showed her her closet, which is also known as her war room, where she would go to fight spiritual battles. In other words, it was a little chapel she made in her home, a little room of prayer with Bible quotes on the wall and just a kneeler, whatever was there, you know, to help her pray better. And she said, this is where I fight my battles. And Jesus wins and the devil gets conquered. Once again, are we conquering the devil? No. God is conquering the devil, but we are entering into the battle through prayer, through self-transformation, through openness to the grace of God, through asking for the things that are the right things to ask for, asking for what we need so that God's grace is flowing in the way that God desires it for my conversion, for the conversion of those I'm praying for, etc. So this is what this gospel reading is all about. Jesus has shown us the Father. The Father is the source of all grace and love. Ultimately, the Father pours out life to us, which is what Jesus does by dying for us on the cross. Jesus has shown us the Father, and because of that grace, and to the degree that we're open to it, he will answer our prayers. Ask anything in my name, he says, and I will do it. Lord, please answer our prayers. Lord, transform us into warriors for your kingdom. Have a great day. God bless you.